T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
M.O., you so crazy. Rick Kamla, John Michaels, woo, throwing our midday party, man. Lots of fun, lots of laughs. We're going to talk Falcons. In just over an hour, John Collins, power forward / center for our Atlanta Hawks, is going to be joining us.
Yeah.
And Tell the Truth Monday, obviously, 1 hour from now, where we divulge secrets about our lives.
You can continue to text in at 404-741-0929, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. What were you late to the party to? We were talking about that during the Slice of Life. Rick apparently late to the party of how cool North Carolina's jerseys are.
You know what, John, just for you, I'm going to, as we talk here, I'm going to look them up.
They're awesome. By the way, what's the Vision Computers Twitter poll looking like? Because we brought this topic up earlier on in the program, talking about deleting your wife's DVR. Like, because let's be honest, it's her DVR. It's not ours. We're just a guest on the DVR.
I mean, we still have, you know, old Good Morning Americas from the holidays on there, the first season of Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder. So the question is, you have to secretly go through and delete some of those episodes to make room. So do you secretly delete your wife or girlfriend's shows off the DVR? Yes, all the time is an option. No, I can't, she'd kill me is an option. Or she deletes my stuff off the DVR. And 45% new leader, yes, I do it all the time.
Really?
41% say, nope, she'd kill me. 14% saying she deletes my stuff.
Well, you might want to turn your mic on, Paul. Yeah, there you go.
Basically saying that he doesn't necessarily delete his wife's stuff, but sometimes when there's a conflict in recording that comes up and it pops up, he'll not let hers record.
Yeah, you can rank what records, like what priority comes up first. Let's just say Leah Remini Scientology probably got bumped off the priority list on our DVR.
Charity has all these shows she watches. One of them is, it's called 90 Day Fiancé. I don't know if any of you have seen this show.
I've not seen that.
It's garbage. It's unbelievably terrible television. But she loves it. Knock her out. Knock yourself out, Charity, with that. She knows that I can't stand that show. It's ugly, stupid people doing ugly, stupid things. Okay.
What about Married at First Sight?
So when that comes up, so it'll be Real Housewives of New Jersey, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, a game that I'm recording, and then it'll be 90 Day Fiancé. I go bloop, and I do the do not record on 90 Day Fiancé. Sorry, Charity, but like if I've got a she's already like taking up four of the options, right? I get one, and so I just sort of get all excited about that.
I get
like masochistic, like, yeah, I get to delete one of these 90 Day Fiancé terrible shows.
This is an early Tell the Truth Monday. I actually like the show Married at First Sight. Like, it's fascinating.
Can't stand it. Charity watches that all the time.
It's fascinating that people are, quite frankly, that desperate to be married that they'll let somebody do basically a computer program and pair them up. And the first time you meet somebody is walking down the aisle. And they're all so dysfunctional, and I've got so many thoughts on what goes on. It's like, all right, you just met that person, but we're married. Isn't there supposed to be, like, you know, a little connection going on there?
It's weird.
I'm not waiting 6-8 weeks and we're already married.
By the way.
You have to sleep on the couch. Well, then we're getting divorced.
By the way, I've got the North Carolina jerseys up right here. I'm asleep on them. I'm definitely asleep on them. I like the navy blue with the baby blue numbers. Better than just the baby blue jersey with the white numbers. That jersey does nothing for me. Not a thing.
A very high success rate for Married at First Sight.
Really?
Yep. Of the 18 couples that have been married because of the reality show.
13 together?
It says 80% success rate. So
wow.
What would that be?
Like, I don't do math.
15, 16?
15 out of 18, I think, is 80%.
That's pretty darn good.
Pretty good.
Probably a heck of a lot better than the marriage rate everywhere else.
Now, there's incentive for these people to stay together, right? Because you stay together, then you are on the reality show longer, right?
No, because they do the season where they're married at first sight, and then the next season they're marrying more people.
So 90 Day Fiancé is almost as garbagey or even more garbagey than Married at First Sight. But they're very similar things. 90 Day Fiancé, you're bringing over a guy or a girl from the Philippines to marry an American. And then they have 90 days to figure it out. It's garbage.
Sounds like an offensive show to me, but
what do you mean?
I don't know. You're bringing somebody from a foreign country to get married.
Well, some of these people are getting married just to get to America,
well, I get
and then
that.
They ditch the person that they got married to.
That happens a lot in real life as well.
You know what I'm saying?
All right,
let's talk some football.
Let's do that because I think people are driving in their car. The stupid Floridian and the know-it-all basketball guy are talking about married at first sight.
All right, so let's talk about these Falcons, man. John found an article from MMQB that has the Falcons as the third least needy team in the NFL. It's kind of like, follow me here, the third least needy. Mm-hmm. That means that there are, let's see here, 29 teams that are more needy than us. So we are basically at the top of the heap of having most of the boxes checked. For the roster construction of our team. And, John, I agree with this.
The only thing they have on there that the primary – it just says primary need for the Falcons is guard.
Thank you.
I disagree that that's primary because I don't know what's happening with our defensive tackles. You could potentially have three of your rotation guys gone, and if all of a sudden Poe and Upshaw and Reuben leave and then Claiborne leaves, who also will rock down and play D-tackle, suddenly defensive tackle becomes a primary position of need. Now – if you re-sign some of these guys, okay, you don't go into the offseason with as big of a need. Guard, we obviously know what's going on. We've talked about Wes Schweitzer and the inefficiency that you have there. Do you feel, though, Rick, he could be a guy in year three in the league that finally has a year of starting under his belt that maybe can make that jump? And I'm not saying to be Pro Bowl, but adequate, where you plug him in, you know, get him to Chris Chester. Because Chris Chester wasn't a great player, but Chris Chester was adequate enough to help you roll.
Sometimes you are who you are. You know, sometimes you're a sixth-round pick because you're a sixth-round pick. And I would rather have a first or second-round pick. I just think, you know, there are some sixth-round picks and some fifth-round picks that spike up and become Pro Bowlers, right? Mm-hmm. A sixth-round pick, I immediately think of Terrell Davis out of Georgia, goes to Denver, and Mike Shanahan just had this way of finding backs that fit what he wanted, and it didn't matter where he got him in the draft. Remember Mike Anderson, Olandis Gary, Terrell Davis, all these guys.
They all went to Georgia, too, pretty much.
It just was wash, rinse, repeat with big, you know, you had to be about 6 foot, 225, and a badass.
And a one-cut runner.
Yeah, and that's what Shanahan loved. So there are examples of that. But, John, there's way more examples of a sixth-round pick being a sixth-round pick, and way more examples of a seventh-round pick being
not
a seventh
being
round
league,
pick.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, no, I want an upgrade. If Schweitzer's my backup, then I'm fine with it. But I definitely want an upgrade. And if we can work it out with Lavitre to bring him back, I certainly want to do that.
You know, I've kind of changed my stance on Lavitre from the end of the year. At the end of the year, I said, okay, and I think I even said this when Lavitre got hurt. I said, that's the last snap you'll see Andy Lavitre as an Atlanta Falcon. And it very well still may be the last snap that you see Andy Lavitre as an Atlanta Falcon, because money can be saved. You're talking about $7.5 million in cap space that can be saved by releasing him. And if you feel that Ben Garland, and he's a free agent as well, but if you feel that Ben Garland comes back at, I don't know, $1 million a year, $1.5 million somewhere in there, and I'm just throwing out an arbitrary number. If he comes back at that number and you're still in essence saving for your starting guard $6 or $7 million, that's probably a move that's going to be made. Because if you just say you renegotiate with Andy Lavitre, you've still got to find a way to pay him that $8.5 million. Now, it's going to be spread out over a couple of years, but then you're going to have to assume that he's making $4.5 million a year. Do you want to pay that for your guard?
Yes, I'd be happy to pay that, because if you want to go into free agency for a guard, the free agents always get overpaid.
They
That's
do.
How teams get that free agent to leave where he's at, uproot his family, come learn a new system. All of that happens because you overpaid the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, John, you overpay that guy and it does not work out. And that guy then a year or two later is a salary cap casualty. And I love that our Falcons don't play that game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to go out and sign a guy for $70 million, $50 million guaranteed, and then 2 years later he sucks. They don't do that because they know that it a lot of times goes that way. So I'm wrestling with this, John. What to do in the first round of this draft at 26? Because it's the absolute sweet spot for Vita Vea, for Daron Payne, for Maurice Hurst, for these elite interior defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrestle with this because if you start sliding back, John, deep into the second round, in my opinion, all or most of the premium guards will be gone, right? If you're talking We're getting 32. We're getting to, like, pick 56, 57. You know, now maybe five or six guards are off the table. And maybe Billy Price is gone. And maybe Isaiah Wynn is gone. And maybe Will Hernandez of UTEP is gone. And now what do you do? So, to me, I have a feeling that the DTs, the interior defensive linemen, are going to be deeper in this draft. I think I would like that second-round defensive tackle more than I would like that second-round guard. And let me bring up a name, Harrison Phillips of Stanford. Mm-hmm. It's not the first time I brought up his name. He's a little undersized, John, but he's a high-motor playmaker on the interior, incredibly smart. He's got instincts. Drew double teams nonstop as an interior lineman for Stanford in the Pac-12. And guess what? You say, undersized, I don't want that. That's what Dan Quinn is okay with, undersized players, because they're fast and they get to the rock and they're physical. I would rather go like Billy Price first round and then like a Harrison Phillips second round. Like, where are you at with that? In terms of, are you with me that we need to go LOS, line of scrimmage, in the first two rounds?
Yeah, and again, it depends on free agency. And that's the great thing about the NFL, is the fact that you will have free agency out of the way. You'll know, okay, is Dontari Poe back on the roster? Because if it's Poe and it's Jarrett and it's Jack Crawford, and just say Courtney Upshaw, just to give us a nice round four defensive tackles, you may not need a defensive tackle in the first two rounds. I would prefer to go an elite-er offensive lineman, because I look, and I'm going through CBS's defensive tackles based on round. I see some guys in the second round that absolutely can play in this
league.
Give me
some names.
Tackle. All right. Harrison Phillips, they have right at the top of the second round, so he may not be there.
He may not be there.
Tim Settle. 6'3", 328 pounds.
He's a beast.
If Poe is gone, that's your big defensive tackle to plug in as a Poe. How about Derek Nnadi out of Florida State? Mm-hmm. Ball player, 6'1", about 315 pounds. How about my guy, R.J. McIntosh, 6'4", 293. He's more of a penetrating defensive tackle than he is a point of attack guy, but he's a guy that could play. Those five guys, including Harrison Phillips, all have second-round grades. Then you start getting third-rounders, B.J. Hill, Rasheem Green, a couple of names that you know from Power 5 programs at NC State and USC. But I look at those second-round guys. First of all, Settle almost fits perfectly to what Poe did. Big plugger, you know, not going to have monster stats, but take on the double team, free up Grady Jarrett to go be explosive. Let him go make plays in the backfield. But if you want to go too fast up the field, guys, look at a Nnadi, look at an R.J. McIntosh, put them next to Grady Jarrett, and you could have two penetrators at the D-tackle position.
John's helping me make my point. John, please pull up the interior offensive lineman, whether it's, I don't know if they do centers or just guards.
So here's what they have guards. Quentin Nelson will long be gone.
Yes.
Unless you're
top
trading
15
up.
Pick.
Maybe top 10. Will Hernandez, they have listed as the 36th best overall prospect. They have a kid named Braden Smith as the 46th best overall. Now, that's at guard only. Center, you have Frank Ragnow of Arkansas, and you might be able to slide him to guard right at the end of the first round. Bradley Bozeman of Bama gets a second-round grade, as does Billy Price and James Daniel of Iowa. And then when you go over to offensive tackle, and I think this is Isaiah Wynn is listed as the 40th best prospect. We all think he will naturally slide into guard.
So, Billy Price, they have a second-round grade on him?
They do.
Of Ohio. I'm talking about the center of Ohio State.
They have him listed right now. This CBS is the 57th best overall prospect.
If we could get Billy Price with our second-round pick, I'm telling you, I'm going to take my clothes off and run naked through my neighborhood. Billy Price is going to be a – I'm kidding, by the way. I don't want to be labeled as a sex offender, because, of course, I'm not. But, John, in terms of Billy Price, I would love to get him in the second round. I have a feeling that when he gets to the combine and when he gets in interviews, he's going to become a hot commodity, because you read, guys and girls, go just do a Google search on Billy Price, Ohio State, and read. You will enjoy. He's an incredibly competitive player, one of the best centers in Ohio State football history. And so the thinking with this, he's a center. You get him and you put him at right guard or left guard if Lavitre's not there. And then when Alex Mack retires, you have your center for the next whatever years. Randy Cross, my former compadre here at 92.9, played guard and center in his NFL career. He was able to slide between.
That'd be
both.
Awesome if he played guard and center in the NBA.
He's like you, John. He is not shy. If I know Randy Cross, he's going to let it fly.
Why not? You got to get your shots up. You can't score unless you shoot. Those are words to live by, kids.
So if we bring back Poe, and if we bring back Claiborne, doesn't that kind of force your hand to go guard at the end of the first round?
Yeah.
And then who's the top? Well, the top guard is Quentin Nelson of Notre Dame. Who's the second best guy?
The second best. And again, these are just for guard. They have Will Hernandez of UTEP. They have him at 36.
Okay, so Will Hernandez is described as a freak, okay? He's tall, he's huge, and he's got sweet feet. Kind of like, think Jerome Bettis as a running back, as an interior. He's like 340, right? Like 6'2 or 3, 340
pounds? 330 is what he's listed as.
And he's got sweet feet. He's not just a plotter. So I would be cool going Will Hernandez at the end of the first round if he was there.
And he might be a guy that you could trade back five spots and acquire an extra pick for. But knowing Thomas Dimitroff the way that we do, they're more likely to trade up and go get somebody than to fall back.
And when they lock in on their guy, they lock in on their guy.
Yep.
I mean, they just do. Baker back in the day, Julio Jones, obviously. I mean, I'm just saying, when they locked in
Desmond
on Tack McKinley.
Tack McKinley.
Didn't they make a trade up or down for Robert Alford?
No, I believe that year they traded up to get Desmond Trufant. And I don't remember if they moved for Robert Alford or not as a second round.
They might. I think I'm confusing them moving up for Alford for them actually moving up for Trufant. But when our guys lock in on their guy, they get their guy. So if we bring back those guys we talked about in terms of a Claiborne and or a Poe, I would want to go guard at the end of the first round and get like an elite guard, not just a good developmental guard, but an elite guard.
I want to go real quickly to a point you made earlier about overpaying for players. Remember J.R. Sweezy?
Yes.
2 years ago, everybody, we got to get J.R. Sweezy. He's going to be cut by Tampa because he was awful. We didn't overpay for J.R. Sweezy.
Tons of guys get paid and they power down.
Oh, yeah.
It happens a lot in football.
We take a break. We come back. Not a good weekend for a former Bama and 49er linebacker. We'll talk about that in the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Big plugger. Take on the double team. You could have two penetrators at the D-tackle position.
He's tall, he's huge, and he's got sweet feet. He's got sweet feet.
Really beautiful feet.
Thank you.
Mind if I touch them?
Sweet feet.
Wow, they're like really soft.
Sweet feet.
Can I smell them?
We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, let's talk some football, man. There's a 49er in trouble right now, and we got to talk about Johnny Manziel. He says he's got bipolar disorder and that has caused depression that led to the drinking. And I want to have a little debate with John Michaels here in a second as we dive into our NFL Bounce. But, John, you were talking about trouble for a former Alabama player who is now employed by the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, it's Reuben Foster, and apparently arrested on domestic and gun charges over the weekend. Didn't he have an issue like a couple of weeks ago that wasn't really an issue? It was one that kind of got blown out of proportion.
I thought he got... You know what? I don't want to get sued for defamation of character, so I'm not going to guess as to the trouble. But I think Reuben Foster was in some previous trouble with the 49ers. Preacher Man just got Mayer and said it was last month.
Yeah, I thought it was. Well, this one was even worse. He was police responded to a disturbance call placed at about 9:15 in the morning. Upon arrival, officers spoke to Foster and the alleged victim. The result of the initial investigation was to arrest Foster. He was then transported and booked into Santa Clara County Main Jail, held on $75,000 bond, released on bail on Sunday. 49ers released a statement Sunday night indicating that they were in the process of gathering facts about the information. For Foster, it was on the heels of a January 12th incident in Tuscaloosa where he was charged with second-degree marijuana possession, which is a Class A misdemeanor in Alabama. He was released that night on $2,500 bond. So in a matter of a month, he's been in the Hooskow twice.
Here's proof that I'm listening. Here's also proof that...
You're not listening?
There's been a lot of parties, but not too many parties, because I was going to say I thought it was a weed bust for Reuben Foster. So so that did stick with me, but like I don't want to get sued, so you know we got to make sure.
If you played the game, and again, this is maybe a little out of line by me, but we'll do it anyway. If you were to have like the big wheel of NFL arrests and you were to spin it, would the pie chart of weed arrest be like half of the wheel? If you were like, half of the wheel would say marijuana.
It probably would, but unfortunately, John, it feels like you know domestic violence and that kind of thing is gaining on, as I like to call them, party fouls, right? A DUI, you had a joint in the center console as you got pulled over. Like these are party fouls. And obviously, you know, alleged domestic violence situations is infinitely worse than that. And so, but unfortunately, it feels like the domestic stuff is rising up the charts.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. And that's one, you know, guy gets busted for having some weed. I'm not nearly as mad as a guy getting arrested for domestic violence. Hey, how about this guy? We haven't talked about this dude in a little while, but Johnny Manziel back in the news over the weekend. He spoke to Good Morning America, which will be on Mark's DVR for about the next 7.5 months. He had this to say.
The difference that I know this year is I started taking a look at my mental health a little bit and making it a priority in my life, and Bree making it a priority in my life, to where I'm taking medication for bipolar, and I'm working to try and make sure that I don't fall back into any type of depression, because I know where that leads me and I know how slippery of a slope that is for me.
So I'm glad we brought this up here, because, like, I want to crush Johnny Manziel, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is the domestic assault charge, and like I've told you guys, like, you're dead to me when I hear about that stuff. And I believe it was, you know, they figured out that he did do it, that it wasn't just an alleged incident. But, John, look, having him say, and by the way, he was, it says in a great article on ESPN.com, he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder about a year ago. Bipolar disorder is a real thing.
Absolutely.
And so I'm not going to sit here and be totally insensitive and say, Johnny Manziel, you're still a loser no matter what. This bipolar disorder thing is real. Just ask Ron Artest, the Meta World Peace, who I believe donated one of his championship rings to raise awareness for bipolar disorder in America. I'm 99% sure about that. It's a big, big deal. And, John, how many players have we heard about that they were bipolar, and once they got on the appropriate medication, they were able to function as a normal human being and not a roughneck and a knucklehead and doing all kinds of stupid stuff? So good for Johnny Manziel that he's figuring this out. I have no idea if this is going to lead to a resurrection of an NFL career. I would actually bet significantly against it at this point. But you know what, Johnny? Take the meds, stop drinking, which he has since he's been on the meds, and go to the CFL. And try to get your Doug Flutie on.
Right.
Okay? Because maybe if you go up to the CFL and kill it and win a couple of Grey Cups, and you know, you've proven that you're past all that stuff and you're a good dude again, maybe the NFL will take another look at you. But he's got to go to the CFL, John.
Yeah, or the Arena League or the XFL.
Go to the CFL. Warren Moon, some legends of the game were up in the CFL. I don't how many legends of the game dabbled in the Arena League?
Kurt Warner. Aronde Gadsden.
Kurt Warner was in the Arena League?
Yeah, that was the big story. He played for the Iowa Barnstormers.
Well, I heard the story a million years ago. I kind of forgot that detail. Who was the other guy you said?
Aronde Gadsden.
Was he a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins?
Yep.
Stop it.
Aronde Gadsden was a baller.
He was eyed for a minute.
Hey, came through the Arena League. Hey, elsewhere, NFL bounce continues.
So what do you think Johnny Manziel will ever play in the NFL again?
No.
I'm going to bet against it as well.
I don't think he will.
Do you think he'll play in the CFL?
No.
Do you think he'll play in the XFL?
Yes.
XFL over CFL?
Mm-hmm.
Even with his troubled past, would Vince McMahon hire him?
If Vince McMahon can talk all that nonsense that he wants, Vince McMahon's going to get whatever player's going to bring him money.
You can't put, like we talked about, you can't put a stipulation in your rules that says, you know, he has to take all the talent that he can get. He has to take all the name notoriety that he can get for this new league. He's got to scrap that. Like, if you've had a previous arrest or a previous, you know, whatever, that we're not doing any business with you, I think that's kind of cutting off your nose right there.
Yeah, is he going to take Johnny Manziel or Giovanni Carmazzi? Which one of those are you going to take?
Well, I wouldn't recommend he takes Greg Hardy.
Well, Greg Hardy's probably a guy that won't get in. He might take Jeff and Matt, the Hardy boys.
Another wrestling reference?
It is.
Nice.
Or broken Matt Hardy.
Is there a word in the English language that you and or Mark can't spin into a wrestling metaphor? Is there a word?
Education.
Okay, how about this? Let's try it. Moist?
Oh, you can spin moist.
You can spin moist.
Absolutely.
Can't.
They got some beautiful WWE superstars that on the women's side.
After that Bret Hart Stone Cold match.
Mm-hmm.
The Vince ring McMahon's, was moist with a lot of blood.
Yeah, or Vince McMahon's face was moist with Bret Hart's spit after him and Shawn Michaels got in a fight.
Or everybody was butthurt to the point of being moist on their cheeks about The Undertaker finally losing a championship bout.
won the championship, but it was a WrestleMania match.
You know what I'm saying?
Descriptive way to get there, but kudos. Golf clap,
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Hey, elsewhere from the NFL, did you see what Lane Johnson had to say about the New England Patriots?
What did he say?
He said this. He said, I just think the Patriot way is a fear-based organization. Obviously, do they win? Hell yes, they win. They've won a lot for a long time. Do I think people can enjoy and say, I had a lot of fun playing there? Nope, I don't. He said they're successful, but when they go to interviews, they act like blanking robots. Hey, stop being a blank head. We can be cordial for a little bit. You only get to do this job one time. So let's have a little fun while we're doing it. Not to be reckless, but I'd much rather have fun and win a Super Bowl than be miserable and win five Super Bowls. But hey, that's what it is.
Give me a break on that last part. He would rather be miserable and win five championships. I promise you that. And look, I appreciate what Lane Johnson is saying right there, but it's really easy to say right after you had a parade and tasted the champagne by beating those guys. A week ago, he would not have been saying this. And you talk about fear-based, okay? Greg Popovich runs a fear-based operation in San Antonio. Nick Saban runs a fear-based operation in Tuscaloosa. How's that? And Belichick runs a fear-based operation. Mm-hmm. These are the three most consistent winners in all of sports right now.
Yep.
Is the Spurs. And I know the Spurs are down a little bit with Kawhi Hurt, but their dynasty, what, they win five championships in 16 years or whatever? They had a Patriots-style run in the NBA.
Matter of fact, they only trailed in a final series once, ever. And that was Game 7 to the Miami Heat.
And to the point of consistency, the most consecutive 50-win seasons in NBA history. Mm-hmm. Basically, the entire Duncan era, about 20 years, they won 50-plus games. Give me a break.
Yeah, but I agree to a point with what Lane Johnson's saying. I don't agree with the 5-over-1. You'll take five championships, and you could eat poo every day, and everybody would be like, cool, we've won five championships. But I do believe there are a lot of players that play in New England and do not have a good time when they play in New England. That they're ready to get the hell out of there whenever they can.
I don't think Randy Moss had a great time up in New England. I don't think he was in. He had a huge year there, but I don't think he was a real culture fit up there.
You don't think Randy Moss and Bill Belichick, they were out going to get some clam chowder on like a Tuesday?
Probably not.
Him and Tom were out picking out Ugg boots together? No?
But I do. Look, the fact that Bill Belichick created this issue with Alex Guerrero, the famous trainer of Tom Brady, tells you about that fear-based thing and about how a lot of people are like, man, I hate that dude, but I'm a Patriot. We might win the championship, you know. But look, what's the NFL all about? It's about winning the Lombardi Trophy, man.
That's
and
it.
Nobody gets you closer to it consistently than Bill Belichick.
Do you think Frank Reich gets the Indianapolis Colts closer to winning a championship? New head coach, finally.
I think it's going to work. I really do. I think it's going to work. I'm betting on them. There's a lot of offensive coordinators or defensive coordinators, and I'll tell you, I'll call my shot right now. I don't think it'll work, or I do think it'll work. I didn't think it was going to work with Sean McDermott. I like Sean McDermott. He gives me a Dan Quinn vibe. He's just feisty and into it throughout the game, and he's made a lot of good decisions, and they made the playoffs when a lot of people thought they wouldn't. Frank Reich has been an offensive coach in the NFL for a long time and an accomplished backup, obviously, the game when he filled in for Jim Kelly, and they beat the Houston Oilers with Warren Moon. I'm betting on him.
You know he has the greatest comeback in college history and the greatest comeback in NFL history?
I did know that.
That's crazy.
He was back in a Boomer Esiason, wasn't he, in college?
I think it was Boomer.
I'm pretty sure it was Boomer.
Yeah, they came back from 31-0 down against some team.
Look, I'll tell you what. If Andrew Luck can't come back from the right shoulder injury, I'm not betting on Frank Reich. But if Andrew Luck is under center, I think that Frank Reich will find a way to get that thing moving. Draft offensive lineman Colts.
Please.
Please.
Yeah, and maybe some defensive help. Poor Andrew Luck's back there like a pinata at an 11-year-old's birthday party.
That's why he's in the state he's in, is because they didn't draft linemen.
Preacher man, we will not treat you like a pinata. We will not do that like Andrew Luck has been. We'll let you do From the Bible next. I say let, as if we have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. There's a certain steeler that's shooting a shot for Valentine's Day. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Juju's doing it again? Maybe. We'll find out.
Hallelujah. It's time for research material on the Midday Show with Rick and John. We throw a midday party, and the party goes to the next level. When the preacher man takes over, he brings us stories from all over the world and outside of the world of sports. Preacher man, should we start with an update on the condom count in South Korea for the Olympics?
It's down to 12. 12 is all they have left.
We're live on the radio here. Let's lock in for just a second.
The underboss is distracting us.
Just a second.
The bus.
Preacher Man, I was looking for an update on the condom count from South Korea.
Still 110.
Thousand?
I'm sure it's decreased, but yeah, it was 110,000.
That's
sure
why I said it was down to 12.
I'm
that's
sure
all
it's decreased
left
by then. You know, all those that have actually finished their events are probably partaking.
Oh, they've finished all right.
All right, From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. Now, we said before the break there's a particular Steeler that likes to shoot a shot. He does it all the time. Well, he's at it again. That would be one Le'Veon Bell. He has given a shout-out to SZA to be his Valentine.
Who's SZA?
Not really familiar with SZA. I know the RZA and the GZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspect the Deck, Ghostface Killer,
Sean
New God, Method Man. I know all of them. I know the Wu-Tang Clan. I'm not really familiar with SZA.
How do you spell SZA?
S-Z-A.
S-Z-A.
He says, I listen to her music all the time. She's my favorite. If I get her for Valentine's Day, she can get whatever she wants.
Okay. Good for you. Shoot your shot. Go for it. Cute girl.
Yeah.
Yes, cute.
Is she talented? She's an artist? Is this SZA?
Song's The Weeknd.
No, is this song with The Weeknd or is it the song called The Weeknd? Because there is an artist called The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
I mean, she's hot. Mm-hmm. She's hot. Do you think Le'Veon Bell likes the music? Do you think that's what's going on here?
Probably.
Kind of a combo platter?
Here's my thing. Shoot your shot after Valentine's. Like, don't set yourself up. Because if you get a date for Valentine's that you're shooting your shot, now she's really expecting you to go all out. And I'll be honest, if you're just a newbie, I ain't going all out for you on Valentine's.
Well, it's in quotes right here. She can get whatever she wants.
Okay.
He so he's going all out.
Le'Veon's got that paper, though.
I had the exact opposite approach as John Michaels. My approach in between the previous regime and charity was to
I love that you call it a regime.
It was the previous regime. Was to go, like, take whoever this lady was out on an extravagant date.
No way.
You're shaking your head.
No chance.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah, dude, the first date, you might get Sizzler. Might.
I was undefeated on first dates.
That's fine.
Doing it the way
me
I did
too,
it.
Because my pocket stayed in my pocket. I'm not going to lie. My wife and I's first date, we went to Dantana's for lunch. Now, it turned out because it was a really good date, we ended up staying for like 2.5 hours. I had 5 or 6 Tito's and Red Bulls, and she had a couple of glasses of wine. So it ended up being more, but it was for lunch. Like, I had the 1 hour escape hatch. I just didn't use it.
Was it love at first sight?
Pretty close, yeah.
So I dated lots of women in between, right? And I have my date with Charity at Graveyard over in East Atlanta. Love at first sight for both of us. And so I didn't have that feeling with anybody else that I was dating or mingling with. And I was like, this is the one. Thank you, God.
You going to go buy SZA? Because this is actually, this sounds nice.
I'm in
might have to go check this out.
I'm in a non-musical hater mode right now.
Okay.
I really am. I certainly don't like this, but I'm not going to hate on it.
This music.
I'm in a non-musical hater mode right now.
This music is sizzling, and we'll turn it back over to the Preacher Man for From the Bible.
All right, well, former MLB All-Star pitcher Esteban Loaiza was arrested Friday in San Diego with at least 44 pounds of heroin and cocaine. And can now face more than 20 years behind bars.
Esteban Loaiza.
Esteban Loaiza.
You remember the name? Pitcher?
Yeah, I totally do.
Made $44 million in Major League Baseball.
How do you spell his
name? Let's not quibble over a million.
Preacher Man, how do you spell his last name?
L-O-I-Z-A.
L-O-I-Z-A.
I think.
It's L-O-A-I-Z-A.
Whatever, I forgot it.
L-O-A-I-Z-A.
So he is charged with one, possession of more than 20 kilograms of heroin or cocaine. Possession or purchase of narcotics and transportation or sale of narcotics. He is currently being held in the Chula Vista South Bay Detention Facility with bail set at $200,000.
He was a freaking all-star, this guy. I mean, I was trying to, like, rack my brain as a fantasy baseball player. I probably messed with Esteban Loaiza. And, you know, I'm looking at him right now, and I remember watching him pitch.
Yeah, me too.
And,
How many pounds of heroin? 44?
44.
Yeah, you don't just throw that in a book bag like that.
Unbelievable!
You have to plan to have 44 pounds of heroin.
What is he? The MLB El Chapo? What is going on here? If they convict him, they are going to throw him under the jail for this.
Yeah, he'll get more than 20 years behind bars.
Holy mackerel!
I'm just trying to figure out how you made 43 mil and now you're running coke and heroin.
Kids got to eat, man.
I mean, Nate Newton didn't make 44 mil, and he just had a van full of marijuana.
Unbelievable. But he made $40+ million.
Yeah, $43 million.
$43 million over his career.
Well, he obviously blew that, didn't he?
Or he invested. He was trying to re-up.
John, why don't you invest in a chain of Burger Kings or something? Oh, my God. I'm going to start a drug business that could be thrown in the slammer or killed.
I've heard in San Diego, In-N-Out Burger's kind of big. You probably could have bought like 3 or 4 franchises and just rolled with that.
Damn.
You'd have been okay. Yeah, that's not exactly
crazy.
That's not the re-up you're thinking of. Hey, I've got 43 mil. Let me go ahead and hook something up.
Johnny's about that life, I guess.
Apparently.
He's going to be wearing an orange onesie with a number on his his heart.
And I hate to be conspiracy guy. Is he a Mexican-born player?
Yeah, he's the second winningest Mexican pitcher in MLB history.
Here's my conspiracy theory on this. You move back to Mexico, you're worth $43 million. One of the cartels says, you're going to work for us or else. And you're stuck being a drug mule. Because that stuff can happen.
Interesting, preacher man. What else you got? You got something a little lighter? Got a little pick me up here?
Yeah.
You don't like the drug mule stories?
44 pounds of blow and heroin. Wow.
Let's go with the fact that the basketball team that LaMelo and LoAngelo play for now have cheerleaders.
Of course,
to encourage
because of them.
Yes,
that's so awesome.
They've brought in cheerleaders. Does that light it up for you?
You lighten it up a lot. That's great. That's great.
Now, the cheers go like this. We love LaMelo. LaMelo. And I don't know if there's 2 L's in his name, but that's the only thing I could do like the bananas.
I don't know.
But would they actually be doing it in English or would they be doing it in their native tongue?
Probably in their native tongue. And judging by what happened to a Boston radio station, I know you're going to get to that, I will not be doing any impersonations of foreign languages ever again.
I actually didn't put that one in there.
Oh, you did?
I didn't.
So in terms of, I have heard that LaMelo and LiAngelo are balling out in Lithuania and playing well.
That's what I've heard.
So good for them.
Have the Christian Fourier story? Oh, I got to bring it up real quick. Then,
feel free.
Okay, just real quick. WEEI in Boston. Shocking that station would be under fire again. Did you see what Christian Fourier did over the weekend?
I did.
Talking about Agent Don Yee and did it in an Asian voice. And then got suspended
for several minutes.
Yeah, for like 3.
What an idiot.
Here's the problem. I listened to it, and we're not going to play it on our airwaves because that's actually our sister station. I wasn't as much offended by the Asian impersonation that I was that it was just a horrible impersonation. Like, it sounded like nothing. I don't know. It just sounded bad. And his host just kept letting him ramble with the same nonsense over and over. It sounds funnier when I do it in this voice. No, it doesn't. It's just bad. The bad thing is they suspend him 5 days for that, yet your boy Felger from the other station can make fun of Roy Halladay dying and all he had to do was some cockamamie excuse letter. Sorry, Paul. I hijacked that for a second.
No, it's all good.
My mom told me, if you don't have anything good to say, Little Ricky, just don't say it at all. Where I'm at with this.
Did she really call you Little Ricky?
No, but I thought that'd be a little funnier.
That's your new nickname. Preacher Man, what else we got?
All right, this is our rap music, according to the president over here. So H-Back Bob, who hit us up on the text line earlier, sent in some research material. Jilly Anais. It's A-N-A-I-S.
Oh, hold on. Spell the first name.
A-N-A-I-S?
Jilly. J-I-L-L-Y.
Course.
And also from the 678, the Dr. Bay, B-A-E, the Dr. Bay.
Oh, we've already had Dr. Bay, haven't we?
I don't know.
If memory serves, Dr. Bay was fantastic.
Well, there you go.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It is Tell the Truth Monday. I've got a story of the Hawks and a bathroom attendant. Huh? How do those mesh together? We'll find out next.
Sports Radio 90.
Indeed, we are. Big voice guy, Rick Kamla, John Michaels, coming to you high above Peachtree here in the Kia Studios at Colony Square in Midtown Atlanta. It is Tell the Truth Monday, and coming up next in about 20 minutes, we have a supremely talented basketball player.
Yeah.
John Collins will be joining us from our Hawks. They were victorious yesterday against Blake Griffin and the Pistons. John Collins, you know, going toe-to-toe with Blake and throughout that game. So we'll ask him what that was like. We'll ask him if he's... you know, not a Blake Griffin fan like many other bigs around the NBA. I may not ask him that one. We'll probably try to play it straight
with
John Collins, but he's
like
our buddy.
To guard a Kardashian. Like, it's tough to go out and guard a Kardashian, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not sure where to go with that. should we get Tristan Thompson on line one?
Well, guarding him is also guarding a Kardashian. I mean, it's the same thing.
His body is doughy this year. Tristan Thompson.
By the way,
squirrel comment
his
for you there.
His girl Chloe now has a new show that's called something 4-week body or body makeover. It's some weight loss show that, again, the wife, the wife got locked into yesterday.
So
revenge body.
Revenge body, that's what it is. I have a revenge body, too. It's a revenge on the younger me.
So in terms of Khloe Kardashian, and she has lost weight and she's reshaped her body. She also consulted a physician about a new butt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like I'm out on that. That's where I tap out. You want to augment up top? I'd rather you didn't, but I'm okay with it. I can slide and roll with it. But augmenting the backside, especially when you, I don't know. I just I'm not feeling it.
A couple of people text in that said Jilly Aeneas, one of the best research materials we've had, and I tend to agree.
There's no question about it.
Let's do Tell the Truth Monday,
as they say.
Yeah, she's a good-looking girl.
Gorge.
All right, what are you telling the truth about on a Monday, Rick? And the reason we do this, for those new listening to the show, they probably go, what the heck are you doing on a Monday? Dan Quinn and the Falcons always tell the truth on a Monday. They get 1% better. They do all the things that they do on Monday. So we tell the truth. Ours just doesn't always have to do with sports or football or anything else.
Iron sharpens iron, John.
Yeah.
Charity and me witnessed a death over the weekend.
What? Like an actual death?
It wasn't the death of a human. Thank God. It wasn't the death of an animal. Mm-hmm. Thank God. But we witnessed the death of our favorite rock and roll station. 858 Subterranean on DirecTV. I don't know if you DirecTV subscribers even know there's music channels up in the 800s.
Yep.
There's a lot of good music channels up there. They're good. They're legit. And so 858 Subterranean, it's Queens of the Stone Age type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not rock and roll that would make, you know, mainstream radio, but rock and roll you've heard.
Right.
You know, old talking head songs. I could go on the Stooges, the Ramones, the OCs,
Twisted
Pond,
Sister,
Swerve Driver, like all these amazing. Not so much Twisted Sister. I think there's a heavy metal station for that. But anyway.
Uh-huh.
So, John, for you and Urania,
mm-hmm.
the baby making music, I'm guessing, is R&B. Am I right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, among other things, man.
Yeah.
The baby making music for me and Charity is not R&B. She loves it, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
The baby making music for us is rock and roll.
Okay.
It gets us into the right mood. We're cocktailing a little bit. We're vibing out and having fun. And not that we need to, like we're madly in love with each other and super attracted to each other, but that's kind of when it's on, John. When we, boop, 858. Subterranean on DirecTV. So about Friday night at 1 a.m., we went out to a great meal at Watershed. We came back home, and we're cocktailing, and mm-hmm. we're having fun. And we're listening to 858, and all of a sudden, 858 went from unbelievably cool rock and roll to this. Christmas music. Our favorite rock and roll station has been supplanted by a year-round Christmas station. And when you consider the dug-in music snobness of me with my rock and roll, and Mark Owens, who loves Christmas and probably would really enjoy a year-round Christmas channel, I can't help but notice the irony of this scenario. It's as if the music gods are telling me, Kamala, get off your high horse, stop being sanctimonious and ripping Taylor Swift a new one every chance you get. This is your punishment for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take your favorite rock station and turn it into a year-round Christmas station. So I got that going for me.
Now, was that like mid-reconnection appointment that you're like, you're jamming out to Blue Oyster Cult and all of a sudden Santa Claus is coming to town?
It wasn't quite that drastic. But it was shocking.
That is awesome.
It wasn't like we went from it's on to it wasn't. It was still on. But we were ticked off, man. We were literally salty and butthurt that our favorite
Are
rock
station. Are you
shocked
that I could pull out Blue Oyster
Cult?
That's
pretty good. That's right. I don't think Blue Oyster Cult might actually have been on Subterranean a time or two.
Yeah,
it's pretty good
know.
Pull by
I
you.
Couldn't tell you a song of Blue Oyster Cult. It was in a movie.
We're bummed out about that. Legitimately bummed out about that. Like, think of, do you have like a station that you just couldn't live without? Like, I don't know, maybe it's V103?
Yeah, probably
V103. Right? So I'm just saying, like, literally a station that Charity and I couldn't live without was taken away from us. So,
okay.
Not cool. That's my Tell the Truth Monday.
I just would love to see you guys jamming out in the boathouse, two Kamala cocktails. You know, things are progressing the way they're supposed to progress in the Kamala household, and this comes on.
Can I complain about something real quick?
Yeah, why not?
It's not the year-round Christmas channel on DirecTV. I'm taking these walks around my neighborhood now. I live on a lake. It's 3.2 miles around, and I'm getting really good exercise doing this. Yesterday, it was my best time ever, John. I've whittled it down to like $1.45, $1.30, 1 minute, 1 hour and 5 minutes yesterday. Because I'm getting in better shape. And anyway, taking the dog for a walk, it's all good.
Do you do any jogging, or is that a very casual stroll?
There's a lot of hills, so I'm not like jogging or slow running, but I'm trying to briskly walk.
Okay.
As a 48-year-old man.
Okay.
But, John, there are a lot of people. And by the way, our neighborhood has, there's a road that circles the lake perfectly. There are no lanes on this road, John. I can't call it a two-lane road. It's about a one-and-a-half-lane road. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, two cars
come, and they got to slow down, otherwise they're going to scrape each other. So you have all of these. There's so many expletives I want to use right now. I'm just going to say jerks. That, John, if you saw a guy in your neighborhood walking with his dog on the street, wouldn't you slow down?
Yeah, normally.
And if your car was literally 2 or 3 feet from this human being and its animal, wouldn't you slow down a lot?
Yeah, normally.
There are people in our neighborhood that are going like 25, zoom, like right by me. And literally, it's like, I don't fear death, but at the same time, it's a little too close for comfort.
Sure.
And I want to get one of these people, and I want to put my hands around their throat, and I want to squeeze. Because, John, we have kids in our neighborhood. We have old people like me walking their dog in this neighborhood. And you're vrooming through in your Dodge Charger, and you can't slow down. You can't pump the brakes for somebody who owns a house in this neighborhood. It's driving me crazy, dude. Like, literally, in these neighborhoods, what is it going to take for a five-year-old boy or girl to get hit? But guess what? People still wouldn't slow down. In these neighborhoods that have these signs that say slow down, I love those neighborhoods. Like the little sign off to the road that says slow down, slow the frick down.
You know, that's why a lot of neighborhoods put the speed humps in their neighborhood, is to get people to know. I have the same problem. We walk our dog, and it's right on a curve. We get him off in the bushes where he can do his business, and I don't have to pick it up. But there's people that come zipping around there at 35 miles. Wham! I'm like, dude, could you slow down? But again, you know, most people are in a hurry.
I'm contemplating like flipping the bird to every one of these guys, but then I don't want the guy in the Dodge Charger to pump, to slam on the brakes and back up his car, and now I got an incident on my hands because I flipped off this loser for, you know, brushing up against me and my dog on a walk. It's so annoying.
I knew Blue Oyster Cult was from a movie. Guy just texted and said, "Mike DeMone, are you the guy with the Blue Oyster Cult tickets?"
Nice.
From Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times.
That's Spicoli. Right. And he eschews them because he's trying to sell Jefferson the Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets, which is a hell of a lot more important and a much better band, by the way. This Blue Oyster Cult, I've heard this before.
Don't fear the Reaper, John.
Sure, whatever you say. All right, let's tell the truth. So do you guys want to hear about the Hawks or the bathroom attendant?
The bathroom attendant.
That's what I figured. Let's go with the bathroom attendant. All right, so you guys have probably heard us complain for the last 2 months that we do not have a bathroom any longer on the ninth floor in our building. Still under construction. There was one guy with one of those Makita drills out there today. Whoop, whoop. I don't know what he was doing. He was out in the hallway, but I heard the drill going, whoop, whoop. 2 months to build a bathroom. That's not where I'm going with this. So for us, we have to now go to the 8th or the 10th floor and try to run up and down the stairs or go to the elevator to
use
the restroom.
Or 12 where it's cleaner.
Have you guys had this same incident with whomever it is out there that cleans the restrooms? She, and I'm not trying to get her in any trouble, normally if you're a woman going to clean the man's bathroom, it's, anybody in there? No? Okay, I'm going in. And you leave the door open when you're cleaning, so that if a guy walks in, he knows there's a female restroom attendant in there. Same thing, if a guy is walking in to clean the woman's bathroom, it's, anybody in there? All right, you don't walk in until you know that all the females are out of there. This lady invariably just busts in and looks like, why are you in the bathroom? Dude, I got to use the bathroom.
She's curious, John.
Or she'll just continue to do what she's doing and oblivious, and it won't just be me. It'll be 6 other people in there, oblivious to everybody else that's in there. Am I wrong for feeling a little uncomfortable, especially with the way that everything goes down today in the overly PC world? And am I wrong to feel a little uncomfortable that the lady just doesn't care, just stays in there? Just me?
If she doesn't care.
I mean,
like,
no.
If she comes busting in and you're in there, she knows. Like, would you know how they park the cart out front?
Mm-hmm.
and there's that little storage room in each of the men's room. If she's in there getting supplies, do you wait for her to leave or do you just go in and do your business?
No, because I'm going in there to use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. That's her job to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just like if I was a man doing the same job in a woman's bath. Like, I've worked in a restaurant. You got to, okay, your job tonight is to clean the restrooms. You knock on the woman's bathroom. When everybody's out of there, you go in and you clean. You leave the door open. If a woman comes in, okay, I'll step out, and you let them finish.
I think in this society in 2018,
mm-hmm.
the hell date is it? February 12th.
Yeah.
There's a lot of creeps.
There are.
There's a lot of creeps.
Absolutely.
And there's creeps walking among us that haven't been exposed yet.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every day a new creep is called out, okay? And so I don't think it's cool for a guy to really ever go in the women's bathroom, like to knock on it and clean it. No, I just think that that should be off limits in society based on where we're at. I don't know. That's just my hot take of
Mark Owens.
I think she's been doing this for so long, she doesn't care. She
okay.
doesn't care anymore. She's like, guys, don't be so proud of yourself, okay? I'm just here to clean. I don't give, no pun intended, I don't give two poops about you guys.
All right, what do you got back there on a Tell the Truth Monday?
I'm going to keep this quick. We mentioned it earlier over the weekend. Me and my bride celebrated our early Valentine's. Got a night, got a room at the Omni at the Battery.
Baller.
New hotel, just opened up. Because I don't ever get a chance to party at the Battery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working during the baseball season. And on my off nights, I don't want to go back.
And after this weekend, you'll never be allowed to party at the Battery
again.
There's
a good chance I may not, because it's going to bring back bad memories. So we started in the Omni, said, come on, let's have a good fun night out. We got a babysitter for Caroline. Let's go date again. Let's go have a big time date and go bar hop and go have some fun. We started out with a bottle of wine in the hotel room. Then we went downstairs, a little hotel lobby bar, had another couple glasses of wine. Then went to the restaurant inside the hotel, had another couple glasses of wine. Then went to Antico, had another couple of glasses of wine, which turned into, you remember Garfield had the plate of lasagna that never seemed to end?
Yep.
That's what our bottle or glass of wines were like at Antico. And then somehow we ended up at Wahlburgers getting boozy milkshakes. Oh, and mind you, by now I was feeling pretty good. It was only like 9:45. So we got dinner. Head back up to the room. I woke up yesterday morning, felt like death. I felt one of the worst hangovers I've had. And what makes me more concerned is not that I had a hangover, that it was this bad from red wine.
Mm-hmm.
It was we didn't do shots. We didn't do mixed drinks. We weren't doing beer. It was straight red wine the entire night. And it gave me one. And I had to work the Swarm game last night. And, you know, good crowd out there. Sunday night, he's like, all right, fans, let's not make some noise. Instead of clapping, let's snap when we get excited, because my head hurt all day yesterday.
Full day hangover?
Full day. I couldn't eat until about 7 o'clock last night.
What?
From red wine, and that's what's the most concerning. I'm at the age now where everything does it to me. It doesn't matter what it is. If I go hard, I'm going to be hurting for the next day or two, and I'm not proud of it. But with that said, had a great night. Thank you for the Omni and the Battery. Beautiful location.
Preacher Man, tell the truth on a Monday.
All right, so Tyler got an invitation to a birthday party. It's been a couple weeks. Young man that he played flag football with this season. So punching the directions on Waze to get to the kid's house, driving. I'm kind of know the area where I'm going, don't know exactly where I'm going. So I'm getting there, and I'm about to make this turn. Of course, as soon as I make that turn, you have to stop at the security guard with the gate. Hand him your ID so you can be checked off the list and then let into said subdivision. So get in the gate, drive to dude's house. Dude's house is enormous. I mean, his main floor is probably the entire square footage of my house, and he has three levels.
You want to advertise here? No?
He might. I don't know. He's got some jack. But the funny part about being at that party, not only the fact that my car looked way out of, you know, position in that neighborhood, it didn't need to be there because, you know, it looked like the pool guy was coming to clean the pool, except it didn't have a pool. I started talking to this gentleman who is a bigwig with one of the beverage companies, and somehow we started talking about advertising. And ironically, we had this conversation in our meeting the other day with the intercom boss about how radio is one of the best places to advertise. He actually admitted that. He goes, yeah, people don't get that, but radio is like one of the best places to put your money because you get more bang for your buck. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Does he want to advertise?
Let's hope so.
Now, would he find John Michael's opinion about Pepsi – would that be well received or not?
I don't think he would care because he's an alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
Aha! Mm-hmm. So he's not a Coca-Cola guy.
No.
Understood. Because if he were, he'd be butthurt about John Michael's Pepsi opinion.
He might be, but that's a him problem, not so much a me problem.
By the way, I can rock a Pepsi. If I want a soda, I'll rock a Pepsi. It's not like I'm, oh, I hate Pepsi. I like Pepsi. I just like Coke better.
That's...
But you do not like Coke, right?
No, it's not that I don't like it. I prefer Pepsi.
Copy that. Because I'm the same way. I just prefer Coke, but I'll drink a Pepsi.
I think Pepsi is better. And if I have my if I walk into a convenience store to purchase something, I will purchase a Pepsi. We come back. This guy has done a great job as a rookie for the Atlanta Hawks. We're going to ask him about playing against a Blake Griffin, about what this first NBA season's like. And apparently he did a really good deed for a child yesterday. We talked to John Collins, Atlanta Hawks power forward, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so
now they get it back to Muskie in the lane. He drives underneath to John Collins, who jams. Two-hand slam by John Collins, and the Hawks regain the lead.
Steve Holman on the call, voice of the Hawks, and we are the home of the Hawks. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, Rick Hamlet, John Michaels, and yesterday our Hawks were victorious against Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and the Detroit Pistons. And right now on the WadeFor.com hotline, we've got our buddy John Collins. He is bouncy, he's a rook, and he's making his way in this world. Man, John, how you doing this afternoon?
Good. Happy to be on the show, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, man, we're very happy to have you back. Now, John, if memory serves, I gave you a homework assignment last time we met at the facility, your brand-new awesome facility. It was Herbie Hancock Headhunters. Did you look into that album,
wow,
John?
No, man. I totally slipped my mind, man.
Oh, it's all good. It's all
like I got an F on that homework assignment.
No, I'm not even the teacher calling. I'm just, I think you will really enjoy it. We were talking jazz a little bit in our previous conversation, man. So Herbie Hancock, Headhunters, it's a historic album, my friend.
Gotcha. I got to check that out.
All right, so yesterday, John, a young man by the name of Adam was at the game, apparently celebrating being free of cancer, and I was at the game yesterday. What were you wearing in honor? What did he give you to wear at yesterday's game?
I actually still got it on right now. It says on the backside, it says, "We got your back," and it says, "All in for Adam." You know, it was actually kind of a really, like I said, a really cool encounter. Got a chance to meet him before the game, you know, signing autographs, and his mom, you know, waved me over. So I'm dapping him up a little bit, congratulated him. She told me, you know, what the case was. You know, like, so I'm not too sure on the exact details, but from what she told me, you know, the cancer is totally out of the system at the current moment. So to celebrate his first celebration, you know, was to come to a Hawks game. And, you know, it made my day. He gave me the wristband wearing honor of him tonight, last night. So I'm going to keep this on for as long as I can, definitely through All-Star Weekend in memory of Adam. So definitely shout out to the big man, staying strong. So.
Now, you know, a lot of players will have this happen, and it becomes kind of the rallying cry for the rest of the year or for then on, and they develop friendships with guys like this. Is it something you're going to try to continue with Adam, and what did it mean to you for him to flag you down and his family to flag you down out of all the Hawks players?
Yeah, it was definitely a big time for sure for him to call me over and, you know, honor me with this. You know, it's something that's never really happened before like this. You know, I've always had certain ones, but never the really random one that kind of just catches me off guard and, you know, actually hits the heartstring a little bit. So definitely like, a first time one for me and something that's going to stick with me for as long as I, you know, we'll be able to remember it because it was a, you know, once in a lifetime experience, something that I need to hold on to and something I can use as motivation, you know, to keep strong for me.
Super classy guy. He is wise beyond his years. He is John Collins, /center for our Atlanta Hawks. And John, yesterday in a big win over the Pistons, and I say big because they're all big in a season like this, but you got the Pistons trying to get above the playoff line, and you were matched up with Blake Griffin quite a bit yesterday. What was that like?
Yeah, definitely cool. You know, I've looked up to Blake a lot growing up watching basketball. You know, he's similar in terms of athleticism. And like the way he's been able to develop his game. So definitely somebody I looked up to. And then, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a battle trying to learn from him and then trying to compete against him because, you know, he's trying to take my head off. You know, he's a big-time competitor as well. So definitely it's really cool to go against him and then, you know, get a W. Definitely big time.
Hey, John, let me ask you, did you glean anything from his game that you will now use going forward, having gone toe-to-toe with him?
I definitely think it's the physicality when it comes to just the positioning. You know, that Blake's definitely, you know, a bigger guy than I am in terms of just weight, but he's able to use certain aspects of certain footworks and just little angles to get his shot off against bigger opponents. And this easier way to get his spots on court. I see him now. He finds those spots. He knows where he likes to go. And he just tries to get there as quickly as possible to make the game as simple as possible. So, you know, not always relying on the athleticism, but just trying to find little niches in the game to make it as easy as he can.
John Collins, our guest here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John, yesterday's game felt really choppy from a fan's perspective. Referees seem to be involved a lot. Can you guys feel that on the court when a game's being called as tight as it was a day ago?
Yeah, definitely. Not necessarily say it was called tight, choppy, whatever you want to call it, but you definitely feel it when you know, you're playing, you have some momentum, and then the foul calls kind of just dictate the game. You know, every couple minutes somebody's at the foul line, and it kind of ruins the rhythm on both sides. You know, you can't really find it because, you know, somebody's at the line or winning the bonus, so you have to be really careful about how physical you are and, you know, what the refs are calling. So, you know, that sometimes does definitely dictate the flow of the game, so you just have to be wary of that and try to adjust.
John Collins on the rookie season, averaging over 10 points, over 7 rebounds, over a block in 22 minutes. And the per 36-minute production, John, is like 17 and 12 with 2 blocks. I mean, well, I'm very intrigued statistically with your development. And obviously, you've been rewarded for this fantastic start to your rookie season by going to the Rising Stars Challenge. It's the Friday night game, formerly known as the Rookie Sophomore Game. It'll be aired live on TNT. And your teammate, Taurean Prince, will be there with you. How excited are you for Friday night in L.A.? You'll be bouncing out there on the floor of the Staples Center.
Definitely big time for me. I know, you know, most of the guys, obviously Taurean, but I know most of the other guys from, you know, just the pre-draft process and, you know, the rookie transition period we go through from college to the NBA. So I'm definitely going to be good to see some of those guys go up against the other guys on the world team. And then it's just going to be fun, you know, especially with Taurean coming out there with me. You know, I have a teammate, somebody I'm truly familiar with out in L.A., my first All-Star rookie experience. So it's going to be big time for them to try to have some fun, and it's going to be a place where I can really, you know, use my bounce, use my jumping ability to get some oohs and ahs. I know everybody's going to be trying to throw lobs or whatever the case may be. I'm just going to be trying to be on the receiving end and, you know, maybe even try to dish out a couple lobs. I know some other guys have some bounce on those teams.
So we know you got the game on Friday night. What are your plans for the rest of All-Star Weekend? Are you just going to take that in and try to be a fan of all the tremendous guys in the NBA, or are you coming back to Atlanta right after the game?
I'm still trying to decide. I think I'm staying in L.A. for a couple more days. Not too sure how many, but, you know, I'm still trying to decide whether I want to stay in L.A. for the festivities or actually take a little bit of a break because, you know, you're going to have to come back and get right back to work. So still not too sure, a little bit on the fence, but definitely going to try to enjoy some of the festivities while I'm out there.
So, John, some of us are disappointed that you're not in the dunk contest. Are you disappointed that you're not in the dunk contest?
A little bit. You know, I'm definitely disappointed because, you know, it's always been a dream of mine to get in there. It's been cool for me to get in there my first year. But then again, you know, dunk contest is a lot of pressure. You know, a lot of things about something else to prepare for. So it's kind of like a relief in a sense that I don't have to worry about preparing for it because I'll, you know, try to bring some new stuff, some creative. And then on the other side, you know, I want to be in there. I want to win it. You know, I like dunking. I'm good at it. So, you know, it's sort of a double-edged sword right there. But, hey, hopefully I have a long time in this league and hopefully, you know, they choose me next couple of years or whatever the case may be. So looking to be in there again soon.
Guys that can dunk always practice really cool dunks. I obviously could never dunk. I could barely touch the net. has there been anything you've ever worked on in the past that you may have pulled out if you ever get into the dunk contest?
Hey, see, I would tell you, but then I'd be giving my secrets away. Somebody else might take it, man. A lot of guys would bounce in the league, man. I can't let them get my ideas now. So come on now,
John. I thought you were gonna hit him with. If I tell you, I have to kill you.
Right.
I thought you were gonna
hit him with that. No, see, I can't. I just can't give secrets out like that, man. You know, I got Dennis Smith and Donovan. They'll be like, oh man, I can do that too. Go right out there and. Don't take my idea, now I got to come up with something whole new. So I got to keep those under wraps in the secret book.
Those two guys can jump out of the gym as you can. Donovan Mitchell, it is ridiculous what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, we actually had a chance to train. You know, we were at the same agency, so throughout the pre-draft process, we spent 2-3 months together training out in Thousand Oaks, California. So we definitely have a real good relationship. Going to be happy to go out there and play with him in L.A. But, yeah, man, he's dropped into a beautiful position for himself to be able to do things that he's doing in Utah right now. His athletic ability, he just feel for the game is incredible, man. And the way he's been able to shoot, man, he's just having a hell of a year. So shout out to Donovan, man. I'm thinking you have to see him in L.A., but, you know, all praise to him, man, right now. He's having a hell of a year.
So, John, and I was watching Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz beat the Blazers up in Portland last night. Very, very impressive. And Mitchell had like 26 or something like that. I've got Dennis Smith Jr. I got the rook out of Dallas winning the dunk contest. Who do you think is going to win the competition?
I want Donovan. You know, Donovan's my boy. You know, and then Dennis again. They're both ACC guys. I had a chance to play against them. I have an honesty between those two guys. Victor, I think Victor Oladipo did it before. And then Larry, I'm interested to see what Larry does. You know, it's always tough for big guys to win the dunk contest because it doesn't look as nice. So, you know, unless Larry pulls out some crazy, you know, he has a lot of bounce in those legs, but I'm definitely looking for the guards, you know, to be like the 6'4", and I think them to like 6'1", 6'2", with the verticals they have. It looks a little prettier.
John, they always talk about rookies hitting the mythical, you know, rookie wall where you've played more games than you ever had in college. Hawks are now 57 games into the season. Have you hit a wall, or have you kind of fought through that already?
Sort of, kind of. You kind of feel sort of fatigue or just like a mental fatigue. You know, you've never really experienced something like this before. Like I said, what I was talking about earlier, you know, I've played more games right now than I have in my two seasons of Wake. So it's definitely just more of an adjustment for me than it was a wall, something I had to think about, calm myself down, and just reevaluate and readjust. So there's definitely a wall that every rookie hits. So I think I've passed mine now. I'm just kind of getting adjusted to, you know, all the nuances of the league now.
I love it. All right, John, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to give me a musical homework assignment. Do you have a song or an album that you're just in love with right now and you want to, you know, advise me on it or advise the great people listening here to the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
Oh, man, so I get to give you any album or song or any music taste?
Anything.
Now, mind you, John, Rick does not like R&B. He's sort of snobbish when it comes to rock and roll, so that may limit your choices a little bit.
I do like hip-hop, though. But, yeah, just hit me with something that's near and dear to your heart, and I'll check it out.
I'm going to give a shout-out to Travis Scott. What's Travis Scott's last album? I think it's Musky. You know what the name of Travis Scott's last album was?
Birds in the Trap Sting McKnight.
There we go.
Birds in the Trap Sting McKnight. I'm okay. Listening to Travis Scott's latest album. He's going to drop a new one, but that one was a big-time one throughout my sophomore year in college. So let me give you some homework on that one.
I love it. John, I'm all over it, man. I'm all over it. I can't wait. I'll listen to it with my baby. She's going to love it, I'm sure, and we'll get it done. And I'll give you a full report next time we do this. All right, John?
All right, man.
Hey good luck in L.A., man.
All right. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.